Volume 23, November 6, 1927. One who lives in the divine will does not descend from her origin, and to her is due the state of queen, while one who lives outside of it lives in the state of servant. Difference between what the kingdom of redemption brings to one and to the other. How those who live in the divine will be the first before God. How the cross matured the kingdom of redemption. How a divine life runs within each truth. I was following the divine volition, accompanying all the acts that my sweet Jesus had done while being on earth. He made them present to me, and I invested them with my I love you, and asked him with his very acts for the kingdom of the divine fiat. And I prayed him to apply to my soul everything he had done in the kingdom of redemption, to give me the grace to live always in his divine volition. And my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, one who lives in my divine will does not descend from her origin. And since everything was created for those who would live in it, all the goods of creation are hers that are more extensive than the goods of redemption. In fact, to one who maintains herself in the state of origin by living in the supreme fiat is due the state of queen, and as queen, it befits her to possess. More so, since she is a queen who lives in the royal palace of our will, and therefore it befits her to possess kingdoms, suns, heavens, seas, and that the king himself live life together with her, making his queen happy as she makes her king happy. This is why the goods of creation were to be more extensive. Otherwise, how could hers be the state of queen if she did not have dominion and kingdoms to dominate? On the other hand, by not living in our divine will, the soul descends from her origin. She disennobles herself and places herself in the state of servant. Therefore, no kingdoms or empires befit her. More so, since in redemption I came upon earth in order to resurrect man from the state of death, to heal him, to give him all possible remedies, to make him return to the first state of his origin, knowing that if he returned into our will from which he came, he would already be prepared to be maintained in the royal state of dominant. Even more, you must know that for those who live or will live in it, the acts that I did in redemption will serve not as remedies, but as happiness, as joy, and as the most beautiful ornament in the royal palace of my will. In fact, everything I did was nothing but a birth from it. Its merciful womb delivered for me onto the lap of my humanity all the acts I did in coming upon earth. Therefore, it is right that, as things that belong to it, they serve as ornament for itself. So, in everything I did while being on earth, if I prayed, if I spoke, if I suffered, if I blessed the children, I kept tracing my children, the children of my divine will, to give to them the first act, the things that belonged to them, the happiness that they contained. And I gave them as remedy for their salvation to the unfortunate children of sin, servants of the human will. Therefore, all my acts ran as first act to those who would live in the supreme volition, as to their center of life. So one who lives in it can say, everything is mine. And I say, everything is yours. After this, I was thinking to myself, if the divine fiat has its first act in such a way that no one else can say, I am first act of it, how can those who will come later to live in it find themselves as first act before God if the first are already there? And my divine Jesus added, my daughter, those who live or will live in my volition will all be like first act before God, because my will has one single act, an incessant act, that starts always from the first act. And by virtue of this single and incessant act, it elevates all the acts done in it to its first act, in such a way that all those who will live in my volition will find themselves in its one act, and all as first before the adorable majesty. Therefore, in my will, there will be neither before nor after, but all will be fused together in one single act. What honor, what glory for the creature to be able to have her place in this single act of the will of her Creator, from which, as from a font, all goods and all possible and imaginable happinesses gush forth. Then, continuing to follow the acts of my beloved Jesus, I stopped when he received the cross, and embracing it with all the tenderness of his love, he placed it on his shoulders to carry it to Calvary. And Jesus added, my daughter, the cross matured the kingdom of redemption. It completed it and placed itself as the custodian of all the redeemed ones in such a way that if one lets herself be kept by the cross, she receives within herself the effects that a mature fruit contains, that contains taste, sweetness, and vital humor, and makes her feel all the good of redemption in such a way that she matures together with the fruit of the cross and disposes herself to return into the kingdom of my will. In fact, who has disposed you to live in it? Has it perhaps not been the cross of so many years that matured you like a beautiful fruit, took away from you all the bitter tastes that the earth contains, all the attachments of creatures, and converted them for you into divine sweetness, placing itself as guard so that nothing might enter into you that would not be holy, that would not give of heaven? The cross, making all the vital humors flow within you, has done nothing other than form your Jesus in you. And your Jesus, finding you mature, formed the kingdom of his divine will in the depth of your soul. And taking the attitude of teacher with all love, I spoke to you about it and still do. I have taught you its ways, the life you must conduct in it, the prodigies, the power, and the beauty of my kingdom. You must know that every time your Jesus decides to manifest a truth, my love for it is so great that I bilocate my very life in each truth I manifest, so that each truth might have the power to form a divine life in creatures. See then what it means to manifest to you one truth less or one truth more. It is to put out a divine life at risk, to put in it danger, because if it is not known, loved, and appreciated, it is a divine life that does not receive its fruit and that does not receive the honors that befit it. This is why I love so much the truths I manifest, because it is my life that runs within them, and I greatly love that they become known. How different is my operating from that of creatures? If they speak, teach, operate, they do not leave their life in the word and in the work. Therefore, they do not grieve too much if their words and works do not obtain their fruits. On the other hand, I grieve very, very much, because it is life that I make run in what I manifest.
Here Jesus is giving us a teaching that we've heard before. He's just reminding us of how lucky we are and what a great gift he's offering us. And he brings it up again on the second page, halfway down the page. And my divine Jesus added, "My daughter, those who live or will live in my volition will all be like first act before God, because my will has one single act, an incessant act that starts always from the first act. And by virtue of this single and incessant act, it elevates all the acts done in it to first act, in such a way that all those who will live in my volition will find themselves in its one act, and all as first before the adorable majesty. Therefore, in my will, there will be neither before nor after, but all will be fused together in one single act." And that's just we're just highlighting such a great gift that he's giving us. It's almost unbelievable what he's given us, and why we're so fortunate to be aware of it and to be exposed to it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon.
Thank you, Deacon. Amen.
November 10th, 1927. The soul alone with Jesus, and Jesus alone with her. How he alone enjoys her. Order and harmony of creation. How each created thing was to receive the action of Adam. God, first model of creation. Adam, the second. The third, the one who must make the kingdom of the divine fiat return. I was feeling all abandoned in the eternal fiat, all alone, and only for Jesus, as if no one else existed for me. So I thought to myself, I am alone, I am nothing, I feel nothing flow within me but the great sea of the divine will. Everything else does not exist for me. Jesus himself flies away and hides within its endless light. And if he makes himself seen for a little while, the rays of the sun of the divine volition rain down upon him. And my sight, too weak, remains eclipsed. And I lose him, waiting for my Jesus, my life, to free himself of that light or to render it less bright so that I may find him again. And I lament about the light that eclipses my sight and hides from me the one who is the life of my poor soul. Oh, if this light of the blessed fiat were less dazzling, I would enjoy my sweet Jesus, because many times I feel his divine touch, his refreshing breath, other times his lips that give me his kiss. But in spite of this, I do not see him. And the cause of all this is the blessed light that forms the eclipse. O holy will of God, how strong and powerful you are, to the point of hiding my beloved Jesus from me. Then while I was thinking of this and other things, my highest good, Jesus, came out from within that light, so dazzling, so I was able to see him, and he told me, "My daughter, You are alone with me, and I am alone with you. And because you are alone with me, I centralize all of myself in you. In fact, since you are alone with me, I can fill you completely with myself. There is not one point of you in which I do not take my place. You are transformed into myself, and as though naturally, the extraordinary grace enters into you. When the soul is alone with me, I am free to do whatever I want. I enjoy her, myself alone, and my love makes me do such great things with her that I reach the point of folly, and I perform so many of those loving stratagems that if they could be seen or heard by all creatures, they would say, "Only Jesus knows how to love and can love in a way so astounding, so ingenious, and so great. With one who lives alone with me, I act as the sun would, and if it could centralize all of its light over one plant, this plant would receive into itself the whole of the life of the sun and would enjoy all of its effects, while the other plants receive only one effect each, which is sufficient for the nature of each plant. But the first one, because it receives the whole of the life of the sun, receives with it all the effects which the light contains. So I do. I centralize the whole of my life in her, and there is nothing of me which I do not let her enjoy. On the other hand, one who is not alone with me, because I cannot centralize my life, is without light. She feels within herself the weight of darkness. Her being is divided into so many parts, for as many are the things that she cares about. So if she loves the earth, she feels divided with the earth. If she loves creatures, pleasures, riches, she feels as though divided into shreds, in such a way that some tear her from one side, some from the other. Her poor heart lives amid anxieties, fears, and bitter disillusions. All the opposite for one who lives alone with me. After this, I was following my round in the divine volition, and as I arrived at Eden, I was glorifying my Creator in the act in which, with his omnipotent breath, he infused life in the body of my first father, Adam, and my always lovable Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "Daughter, with what order and harmony was man created? Adam was created by us as king of all creation, and as king, he held supremacy over all things. And if he had not rejected our fiat, possessing the unity of it, during his whole life, he would have filled all created things with his acts. As king and owner, he had the right that each created thing undergo his action and be invested by its light. Since each one of his actions was a son, one more beautiful than the other, so he was to form the crown for all creation. He would not have been true king had he not known all of his dominions and possessed the right to place his acts in all the things created by us. It happened as when someone is the owner of a land. As the owner, he has the right to stroll within it, to plant flowers, plants, trees, in sum, anything he wants. So Adam was. With the power of our divine fiat, he did whatever he wanted. He bilocated in all created things. And if he spoke, if he loved, if he adored and operated, his voice resounded throughout the whole creation. And it was invested by his love adoration, and work. Therefore, the divinity felt the love, the adoration, the work of his first son in all of his works. Now the whole work of Adam would have remained in all creation as the first model for all of his descendants, who would have modeled all their acts in the reflections of the light of his acts, which as first father he would have given as inheritance to all his descendants, who would have had not only their model, but the possession of his very acts. What would our glory and his have been to see the works of our dear son, of our precious treasure, who had been given birth by our love, fused with our works. What happens for him and for us? What happiness for him and for us? Now, if this was our purpose for which all creation was created, as well as our dear jewel, which is man, is it not right that, even though Adam started but did not finish, or rather, he finished in sorrow and in confusion because he rejected our divine will, which served him as first act and made him operate in the works of his Creator, we fulfill this, our purpose in his descendants? This is why I call you into the midst of my works in all creation, to form the model within which the other creatures must model themselves in order to return into my fiat. If you knew what joy I feel when I see that, making my divine volition your own, you want to animate the light of the sun to tell me that you love me and to ask me for my kingdom. And so with the swiftness of the wind, the murmuring of the sea, the flower, the outstretched heavens, and even the singing of the tiny little bird, you want to give your voice to all, animate all, to tell me that you love me, that you adore me, and want the kingdom of the supreme fiat. I feel such contentment that I feel the first joys, the first love of my dear jewel being repeated for me, and I feel inclined to put everything aside, to forget everything, so as to make everything go back to the way it was established by us. Therefore, be attentive, my daughter. This is about something too great. You must know that the first model in creation was the Supreme Being, within which was man to model all his acts with his Creator. The second was to be Adam, within which all his descendants were to model themselves. But because he withdrew from my will, since my will and its unity were missing in him, he lacked the brushes, the colors, and the raw materials to be able to make the models in the likeness of his Creator. Poor one, how could he form models with the very divine form if he was no longer in possession of that will which administered to him the ability to do it, as well as everything that was needed to be able to form the very models of God? By rejecting my divine fiat, he rejected the power which can do everything and knows how to do everything. It happened to Adam as would happen to you if you had neither paper, nor pens, nor ink with which to write. If these were lacking to you, you would not be able to write a single word. In the same way, he was no longer able to form the models on the divine mold. The third model must be formed by the one who must make the kingdom of my will return. Therefore, your duties are great. On your models will all those of others be modeled. So let the life of my divine will flow in all your acts, that it may administer to you everything that is needed. In this way, everything will go well, and your Jesus will be together with you to make you execute his divine models well.
November 13, 1927, how the Word was in the center of his humanity and how he operated, how there is a great difference between the reigning of the divine will and the sanctity of the saints, even though there were miracles. I was following my round in the divine volition, and as I arrived at the acts it did in the humanity of our Lord, my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, the divine word in my humanity was present as center of life within it. We were inseparable, the word in my humanity. But since my humanity has its limits, while the word was without limits, immense and infinite, I could not restrict the whole endless light of the word within it. This light overflowed outside in such a way that overflowing from the center of my humanity, its rays came out from my hands, from my feet, from my mouth, from my heart, from my eyes, from every part of my humanity, in such a way that all my operating flowed within this light, and more than solar rays, it invested everything and traced all the acts of creatures in order to give its acts, so that their acts, invested by its light, might take the form of its acts, and fused together, might acquire the value, the beauty of its acts. But what was not the sorrow of my humanity in seeing its acts being rejected by creatures within the very light of the eternal word, preventing the transformation he wanted to make in creatures? Each of his rejected acts was a sorrow, and each act of the creatures converted into bitterness and offense for my humanity. How hard it is, wanting to do good, doing it, and finding no one who receives this good. This sorrow still lasts, because everything that my humanity did in the light of the eternal word exists and will always exist, and is always in the act of doing what was done once, and it lies as though in ambush, waiting for the creature to receive the transmission of its acts, so that one may be the act, one the value, one the will, one the love on both sides. And only by the reigning of my fiat can the operating I did in redemption have its total fulfillment? Because with the light of my fiat, creatures will remove the blindfold and will let all the good that the eternal word came to do within my humanity for love of creatures flow within themselves. And while he was saying this, I saw my sweet Jesus with so much light coming out from within him as to invest everything and everyone. Then I continued my round in the divine fiat, and while accompanying with my I love you all the prodigies it had done in the saints, patriarchs, prophets of the Old Testament, as well as those after his coming upon earth, to ask for his divine kingdom in the midst of creatures, by virtue of all these its acts, I thought to myself, if this holy volition had done so many prodigies in all these saints, is this not then its reigning, at least in these saints, is so prodigious? But while I was thinking of this, my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, there is no good that has not come out of my divine will, but there is a great difference between its reigning in the creatures and the releasing of an act from within itself, communicating it to creatures. As for example, with Abraham, it released an act of heroism and I had the man heroic in the sacrifice, with Moses an act of power, and he was the prodigious man, with Samson an act of strength, and he was the strong man. To the prophets it revealed what regarded the future Redeemer, and they were men prophets. And so with all the others who distinguished themselves as prodigious and of uncommon virtue, according to the act that my divine will released, and if they gave their adhesion and correspondence, so did they receive the good of its act. However, this is not reigning, my daughter, nor does this form the kingdom of my will. In order to form it, it takes not just one act, but the continuous act that it possesses. This is what it wants to give to creatures in order to form its kingdom, its continuous act of power, of happiness, of light, of sanctity, of unreachable beauty. What my fiat is by nature, it wants to render creatures by virtue of its continuous act that contains all possible and imaginable goods. Would you say that a king reigns only because he has made a law or has given a good to his people? Certainly not. True reigning is to form the life of the peoples with all the laws, giving a decorous regime befitting, upright, and just for their lives, giving them all the necessary means so that nothing may be lacking for their good. In order to reign, the king should have his life in the midst of the peoples and make his will and his goods one with them, in such a way that the king should form the life of the people, and the people the life of the king. Otherwise, it is not true reigning. This is the reigning of my will, to render itself inseparable from the children of its kingdom, to give them everything it possesses to the point of overflowing, so as to have children happy and holy of its very happiness and holiness. Now, from this, it can be seen how, in spite of so many prodigies that the saints, prophets, and patriarchs have done, they have not formed my kingdom in the midst of creatures, nor have they made known its value, or the great good that my will possesses, or what it can do and wants to give, and the purpose of its kingdom, because its continuous act, its permanent life, was missing in them. And therefore, not knowing it in depth, they occupied themselves with other things concerning my glory and their good, and they put my will aside, waiting for a more favorable time when the paternal goodness would please to first make known and then to give a good so great and a kingdom so holy that they would not even dream of. Therefore, be attentive and continue your flight in the divine fiat.
In the middle of that next last page, he just says, however, this is not reigning, my daughter, nor does this form the kingdom of my will. In order to form it, it takes not just one act, but the continuous act that it possesses. This is what it wants to give to creatures in order to form its kingdom. And here it is, its continuous act of power, of happiness, of light, of sanctity, of unreachable beauty. What my fiat is by nature, it wants to render creatures by virtue of its continuous act that contains all possible and imaginable goods. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon.
November 18th.
I'm sorry.
November 18th, 1927. How, when God manifests a new truth to the creature, it is a new feast for God and for her. As the soul decides to do her act in the divine volition, she calls the divine fiat to be reflected in her act and its light that has the virtue of emptying it of everything that is not light. I was feeling afflicted because of the usual privations of my sweet Jesus, but all abandoned in his lovable will. Then I thought to myself, in these days, my highest good, Jesus, has not told me anything. Everything has been profound silence. He just barely let me feel a few motions of himself within my interior, but without a word of his. But while I was thinking this, he moved in my interior, telling me, my daughter, when God does not manifest more truths, the divine will is as though suspended. It does not add more goods for the creatures. Therefore, for God and for the creature, there is not the feast that the truth brings with itself. On hearing this, I said, for you, it is always feast, because you have all the truths with yourself. But for the poor creature, the feast is interrupted, because she does not possess the fount of all truths. Therefore, when her creator does not communicate more truths to her, the new feasts remain interrupted for her. At the most, she enjoys the feast already communicated by you, but the surprises of the new feast are not in her power, which is not so for you. And Jesus added, my daughter, indeed for us it is always feast, nor can anyone shade, even slightly, the ocean of our new joys and endless happinesses that our divine being contains within itself. But there is a feast that is formed in the act when our divine being, overflowing with love toward the creature, manifests its truths. To see the creature twice as happy and so many more times for as many more truths as we manifest to her is a new feast for us. To put our truths that come out from the founts of our joys, to prepare for the creature the banquet of our happiness that the truth contains, to see her celebrate herself, to see her celebrate together with us, sitting at our own table to nourish herself from our own food, is a new feast for us. Feasts, joys, are formed in the communications. Isolated good does not bring feast. The joy does not smile. The happiness does not banquet alone. It does not put itself into liveliness. And besides, with whom can it celebrate, smile, banquet, if it finds no one for whom to make this feast, with whom to smile and to inebriate each other? Therefore, union forms the feast. Rendering another creature content forms one's own contentment. This is why, though we have our new feasts that are never lacking to us, we lack the new feasts that we do not give to the creature. If you knew our joy and happiness and seeing your littleness sit at our table, nourish itself from the truths of our supreme volition, smile at its light face, take our joys in order to make within yourself the depth of your riches, embellish yourself with our beauty, and, as though inebriated by so much happiness, hear you repeat, I want the kingdom of your fiat. You would want to put heaven and earth upside down to ask me for my fiat, so as to obtain your intent. And to do what? To render the whole human family happy of your same happiness. It seems that your feast is not full if you do not render others happy of your very happiness, and that you contain by virtue of my will. If you could make everyone know everything that you knew about it, and make everyone enjoy the happiness it possesses, would it not be one more feast for you? And would you not feel twice as happy of the happiness of others communicated by you? And I, surely, my love, how much happier and more content I would be if I could overwhelm everyone into your holy will. And Jesus, well then, so am I, to our happiness, to our feast that is never exhausted and keeps us always in feast, would add the happiness of the creature. Therefore, when I see you yearn for my truths, in order to know them, I feel drawn to manifest them, and I say, I want to enjoy my new feast with my little daughter. I want to smile together with her and inebriate her with my own happiness. So, during these days of silence, you have lacked our new feast, and we yours. He kept silent, and then he added, my daughter, as you decide to pour yourself into my divine fiat, inform it in your thoughts, words, and works. You make a call to my will, and my will, feeling called, answers the call by reflecting its light in your act. And with its light, it has the virtue of emptying that act of anything human that might be in it, filling it with all that is divine. So, my divine volition feels called by your thoughts, by your words, by your hands, by your feet, and by your heart. And it reflects its light in each one of them. It empties them of everything and forms in them the life of light. And since light possesses all colors, my divine will places one of its divine colors on the thoughts, another on the words, another on the hands, and so with all the rest of your acts. And as you multiply them, so does it multiply its divine colors invested by its light. And oh, how beautiful it is to see you invested by so many varieties of divine colors and shades for as many thoughts, acts, and steps as you do. All these divine colors and light give you such beauty that it is an enchantment to see you, and the whole of heaven would want to enjoy from such beauties with which my fiat has invested your soul. Therefore, let your call to my divine will be continuous.
November 23rd, 1927. When the soul does not give primacy to the divine will is in danger and is though suffocated in the midst of creatures. When the soul prays for the coming of the kingdom of the divine will, all of heaven echoes her prayer. My abandonment in the divine fiat alone is my life, my support, my all. My sweet Jesus hides more and more, and I remain only with this will, so holy, immense, so powerful, which at each of its motion, with each of its motions sprouts and emits from itself a sea of light, which forms its luminous and endless waves. My littleness gets lost, though it comprehends that there is so much to do in order to follow its innumerable acts within so vast a sea. And wandering within the divine fiat, I thought to myself, oh, if I had my sweet Jesus with me, who knows all the secrets of his will, I would not get lost, and I would follow its endless acts better. I really feel that he no longer loves me as before, even though he tells me that it is not true. But I see facts, and in the face of facts, words have no value. Ah, Jesus, Jesus, I did not expect this change of yours, which makes me feel a continuous death. More so, since you know that your leaving me without you for a long time cost me more than my very life. But while I was thinking of this and other things, my beloved Jesus moved in my interior and told me, "My daughter, my little daughter, why do you fear? Why do you doubt about my love? And besides, if you get lost, it is always in my will that you remain, never outside of it. Nor could I tolerate that you went out of its boundaries by a single step. No, no, the little daughter of my will always be in its arms. And besides, how can I not love you if in you I see my fiat having primacy in all of your acts? I do not see it in danger as in the other creatures, suffocated in all their acts. In fact, since they do not give it primacy, it is always in danger in their midst. Some steal its goods from it, some offend its light, some deny it, some trample upon it. Since they do not give it primacy, it is like a king whose subjects, not giving him the honor due to him, beat him and want to put him out of his own kingdom. What sorrow! But in my little daughter, my divine will is safe. It is not in danger in her gazes, because in all created things, she looks at the veils which hide my will, and she tears the veils and finds it reigning in all creation. She kisses it, adores it, she loves it and follows its very acts, placing herself as its courtage. It is not in danger of your words, in your works, in anything, for you give it the first act in your acts. By giving it the first act, one gives it divine honors. One esteems it as the king of everything, and the soul receives the goods of her creator as things that belong to her. So, for her, my will is not a dangerous state, but safe. It does not feel the light, the air, the water, the earth being stolen from itself, because everything is here. On the other hand, those who do not let it reign rob it from all sides, and my will finds itself in continuous danger. After this, having followed my rounds in the divine fiat, I was gathering all created things, in which all the acts of the divine fiat are present, dominating, and I, gathering everything together, the heavens, the sun, the sea, and all creation, brought everything together before the Supreme Majesty to surround it with all its works, and have the acts of its very will ask for the kingdom of the divine fiat upon earth. But while I was doing this, my lovable Jesus moved in my interior and told me, "My daughter, hear how all the heavens echoes your petition, and the angels, the saints, the sovereign queen repeat among themselves, fiat, fiat voluntas tua, on earth as it is in heaven. Because it is in petition of heaven, it is the kingdom which interests everyone. They all feel the duty to ask for what you want. They feel within themselves the same strength of the power of my same divine will, by which all of them are animated, and they repeat, 'May the will of heaven be one with the earth.' Oh, how beautiful it is, how harmonious it resounds when an echo from the earth invests all of heaven and forms one single echo, one single will, one single petition. And all the blessed say among themselves, taken by admiration. Who is she who is carrying the whole cortege of the divine works before the divinity, and with the power of the divine fiat which she possesses, she overwhelms it all. She overwhelms us all and makes us ask for a kingdom so holy. No one has had this power. No one until now has asked for the kingdom of the fiat with such power and empire. At the most, some have asked for the glory of God, some for the salvation of souls, some for the reparation of many offenses, all things which refer to the external works of God. But asking for the kingdom of the divine will is about his internal works, the most intimate acts of God and the destruction of sin. It is not just salvation, but divine sanctity in the creatures. It is liberation from all evils, spiritual and corporal. It is transporting the earth to heaven so as to make heaven descend upon earth. Therefore, asking for the kingdom of my divine will is the greatest, the most perfect, the holiest thing, and this is why, reverently, all answer your echo, and in the celestial fatherland resounds the beautiful harmony, fiat voluntas tua, on earth as it is in heaven.
Spes nos la salve, arte clamamus, exules vivi ene, arte suspiramus, temet es et lentet, in hoc lacrimarum vale.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your teachings today that bring us so much closer to you and the divine will. Bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. Benedic a vos omnes potentes, Pater et Filii Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. Fiat.
Listen, before we all say this last paragraph that she just read, she said, therefore asking for the kingdom of my divine will is the greatest, the most perfect, the holiest thing, and this is why reverently all answer your echo. And so I'm just saying, when we say this last thing that we all say, fiat, come divine will, all of heaven is saying with us in beautiful harmony.
Can't go deeper than that, can we?
No.
Right.
That's awesome. Yeah, thanks.
Beautiful. Thank you, Deacon.
Thanks.
God bless you all. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Deacon. Yes. Thank you, everyone.
Have a great week. Have a great weekend. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Fiat, come divine will.